And joining us on the line right now, CNBC senior contributor, host of The Larry Kudlow Show, heard on WMAL Saturday at 7 p.m., and author of a hot new book, JFK and the Reagan Revolution, A Secret History of American Prosperity. Good morning to you, Larry.
Good morning, Brian. Thank you.
Yeah, you're very much welcome. Okay, so look, when it comes to, you know, complicated ideas that involve numbers, I always wonder, what would Larry say? And so we've heard this story about the CBO numbers, it would reduce the federal deficit, they say, by $337 billion over, I think, 10 years. Initially, premiums would go down before they went up and then came down again. But the big number that everybody's talking about is that, according to the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, some 14 million people would initially lose their coverage. Help us separate fact from fiction. What's real? What's not real in all this?
It's just too hard. I mean, it really is too hard. And I'm going to be somewhat critical of the CBO, but I think the issue here, to be honest with you, first of all, models have limits. So, for example, when CBO estimated Obamacare, ACA, you know, they badly overestimated the amount of new enrollment, right, throughout the whole period. They, basically, on the individual exchanges, they said we're going to get to, I think, 22 million. That was their forecast, and that's pretty steady. But what happened was we really only got 10 million, so the 50% miss.
Right.
And, you know, I think you're seeing something similar with these latest numbers. I don't want to be partisan. I'm just saying, for example, Tom Price, who knows a lot about this and used to head the Budget Committee, and by the way, he chose the CBO director. I mean, Tom is saying, look, you've only got 8 or 9 million people right now.
Right.
On the exchanges for individual insurance, and CBO is, you know, saying that's going to jack its way all the way up to 14 million and eventually, what, 25 or 26 million. It just doesn't make any sense. And I think there's two problems here. One is they don't have enough experience. You've only got a few years of experience to figure out how to model all these complicated relationships. And the second point I would make is the Trump plan or the Ryan plan relies heavily on freedom of choice, getting rid of the mandates.
Right.
And, you know, incentives to come back in. I mean, it's not out of the question to my way of thinking. When the whole plan is finished and people understand, you know, the mandates are being removed and a lot of things are going to be changing, you might get more people. You might get more people enrolling because premiums might drop more than you think if we, for example, differentiate between the healthy and the sick, which I think is one of the key points here. You know, the sick take, and God bless them, we have to cover them. That's not my point. 50% of the consumption of health care money is done by 5% of the people, meaning the sick, the ill. Okay. What I think you should do is have the U.S. government just pay for it, all right? We're a generous country. Just pay for the ill. You could give it to them in the form of vouchers and let them choose what they want, or you could have direct spending subsidies, okay? Then, if you separate them out, the insurance companies will be able to drop significantly the premiums, and by the way, the deductibles also, but mainly the premiums. And that might have people coming in. Many more people might come in with a lower cost premium. So my basic point is, with freedom to choose and all these new incentives, it's just too early to be able to figure all this stuff out. I know it's going to trigger a gigantic debate in Washington. I understand that. But I'm just saying, as an economist and someone who looks at some of these numbers, I don't think they have enough data. I don't think the CBO has enough experience, and I don't think, therefore, they can really model this stuff. So I just don't want to get hung up on it right now.
So you do not agree with Newt Gingrich, who claims that that the CBO is corrupt and needs to be abolished. You just think they don't have enough experience.
Yes, that's my take. I really, I know a lot of those guys. I don't know the new man, but I know a lot of those guys. As a former deputy OMB director, mm-hmm. I worked with CBO many years ago. I followed them down through the years. I don't think they're evil. I don't think they're corrupt. I don't even think they're political, although maybe some of them are. I don't know. I think that there are issues that have to be resolved to make this a better plan, right? This thing's going to go through many iterations and compromises. And, you know, one thing I would point out is I think that there's too much money allocated to the upper-end income people. Let me talk about the tax credits very, very quickly. I think there's too many tax credits. You know, it goes up to about $150,000 for married filing jointly. I think that's way too high. And at the low end, you know, people who may have to make a choice between Medicaid and some kind of new insurance plan, the earned income tax credit, I think, is too little. So one thought that I have is, you know, give the low end more,
right,
give the high end less. I think that's a very important point. And incidentally, take away the insurance companies. 30%, they have the ability in this plan, I don't know where this came from, I guess they're lobbyists. If you are a little late in your payment or you come in late for your purchase of a plan, they can raise the premium by 30%. Well, that's just as bad as the old mandate that we were getting rid of.
That's not good at all.
All right,
we got to leave it there, Larry. Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to have you.
Yeah, we'll see how this plays out. Thank you very much. And